At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Sounders Scuttlebutt. I'm your host tonight, Cameron Collins, as Aaron is out on baby duty, and I am here with the one and only Nicholas Biella. Yeah! What's up, dude?
Hey, always great to be back on. I mean, I feel like a baby myself, so I guess, you know, Aaron's kind of watching me in a way. Always good. Always good to be on. We'll answer the call.
Yeah, you know, it's we always love having you here. You're our third host and fill in whenever someone can't come on and sometimes just come on with both of us. But with you and me, we know it's probably going to be a long episode.
Oh, no, I didn't even think about that.
Well, let's start out this way. My birthday was, I just realized as I'm saying that it is one of my best friends from childhood's birthday today, and I didn't wish him happy birthday, and he's in Chicago time, so I only have 30 some odd more minutes, so I'm going to do that real quickly while we're live on air. This is great radio, you know that? Have you ever do that? You forget birthdays?
Oh, I do. But I'm also very stubborn. I hate wishing someone happy birthday on Facebook. I always try to do it whenever possible via text or a phone call. I just don't like doing it. It feels impersonal. And it's tough. We all have our busy lives. And just because sometimes we forget to do it on the actual day, believe me, I think about my friends quite a bit, you know?
And there's lots of people that I feel like I, you know, maybe if I don't text with them regularly or haven't had a close relationship at some point in time, we're more like work friends or school friends or whatever, maybe I just might do it on Facebook. But I agree with you in general.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't believe in the Seattle freeze, you know, it's like, hey, we all have our busy lives. And when we get a chance to catch up, we're going to pick up where we left off the last time we talked, you know, and I'm not going to hold it against you that, hey, why didn't you call me? Why didn't you write? You had me worried. But I'm very fortunate that a lot of the people in my circle of friends feel like it's a similar vein. And so for all of you that know me, know that I love you. Know that I'm thinking about you.
Well, that's a perfect segue into the fact that I didn't know what I was going to do on my birthday weekend. As I've grown older, I don't like birthdays as much. I think they end up being, especially the last few years, rather lonely as I've been out of relationships for the last couple, or few, but, I had such a great birthday weekend and it was all because of you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. We went to the Seattle Storm game and got to see Caitlin Clark play with the group. And then we went to the Filipino night at the Mariners, and then of course there's the Sounders game on the Saturday, so it was a really great time.
Three professional sports events in 3 days, and and Roma loves seeing you. She's
the best time.
you're that uncle at this point for sure.
Woo-hoo. Yeah. So thank you for that. I know that's not, well, I guess we saw the Sounders play, so that is somewhat Sounders related, but overall that was a great time. And I think leads nicely into where did you watch this last match? Did you watch it at home, the US Open Cup match?
Yeah, I did. I watched at home. Was enjoying the game, texting with some friends and popping onto the Scuttlebutt Discord as well, just kind of ruining Ted Uncle, being very afraid of his influence that he likes to have. By the way, speaking of US Open Cup, LAFC, they are now up 2-1 against New Mexico United. New Mexico just scored in the 57th minute. It's 2-1. So the winner of this game will come up to Seattle and play us, I believe, August 27th or 28th. I don't believe they've set a date.
One of those dates. We don't know which one, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
Not to get way ahead of ourselves, just live breaking news.
No, that's perfect because I was curious. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to make sure we recorded tonight, even if Aaron couldn't. And one of the reasons Aaron couldn't is he has to come out with me tomorrow night to have a meeting about another project we're working on that is a higher level thing than this. So no announcements here today, but something fun is in the works, and so we have a meeting tomorrow night about that when we record. Is the game on Apple TV, by the way? The do you have it up there?
It might be, but I just had it on FootMob, which is my favorite soccer app.
I almost feel like FootMob knows the goal is going in before it actually goes in. They'll be like, goal, and you'll be like, wait, I was watching there. I was at that game.
I'm here. What is happening? Although I do have to admit, I would love to see New Mexico United take this one, not just because, you know, USL level team, but the way that they really took in David Estrada under their wing and, you know, Sounders legend David Estrada.
Yeah, he was in their front office, too.
Yeah, and through that, I learned more about the club. And it looks like they're doing a lot of really good stuff on a community level there. And a lot of respect for what they're doing. It's very, very grassroots. As a matter of fact, same thing for Sacramento Republic. It's really a bummer that they hitched their wagon to the wrong ownership person. Was it Ron Burkle? Is that right?
Yeah.
I think and he completely screwed them over. Which is just too bad, and I do feel for Sacramento fans, but I'm sure we can kind of maybe talk about that a little bit more once we talk a little bit about the game. But first, I believe we have some work to do.
Yeah. I will say, I love New Mexico United. ISC had a conference down there, and so I got to hang out in Albuquerque. Great little town. It felt like a little smaller, but it felt a lot like the way Seattle used to be, where there's still, even though it's growing, there's still lots of really cool artsy stuff and little cool dive bars, nice restaurants, though, and like comic book shops, vegan food. I went to the Atomic Bomb Museum, which is different than the Atomic Testing Museum in Vegas that I always go to.
Alamogordo is not too terribly far from there, and Las Cruces,
right.
And
right.
For you Manhattan Project fans, and
they had the full size at this museum. They had a full size
fat man.
I was like, what is a fat man and little boy, little man and fat That's boy?
I think it wasn't that an 80s hip hop group?
Yeah, the Fat Boys. Oh man, they were so good. I loved it was just really cool. I ended up just eating a weed gummy and walking around New Mexico by myself for a full day.
The answer was go to the aquarium there. They have one of the coolest jellyfish displays there now in Albuquerque. Really? Oh yeah. chirpy.
Oh shoot!
That would have been that would have been the way to go.
That's man. But I also you know, shout out to Black Diamonds. They are the black led supporter group down there for New Mexico. Friends of mine, friends of Grell FC. I have they actually have a jersey on. They have now a new one on a second one that come out on York Olive in York.
Oh yeah,
and,
yeah.
And the one they're currently doing is a scholarship for a black player to be able to play. So their goal is to be able to get scholarships to help players with the high costs, young players with the high costs of soccer in America, since it's all pay to play here.
That's soccer for all. That's something I have strongly believed in for many, many years. So anything to further that cause.
So you know, yeah, pop that open. Open up that beer there. What do you got, Ronnie West?
Always. I mean, not always, but, you know, frequently. There we go.
That sounded great. I ran out of Liquid Death, so I'm just, I've already opened it. It's, oh, the ice is melted. It's hot here, people.
It's been very hot, yeah.
If you're not in Seattle, well, right now it's only 72. It's probably really pleasant outside, and that's the beautiful thing. It's going to stay hot. It's not going to be in the 90s again, but it's going to be 80s, and then at night it's going to drop down to low 60s, and it's just going to be wonderful. I can't wait for that.
I feel like this is a prep because at the end of the month, I'm going to be in Tokyo for a week and a half. And the temperatures that final week of July tend to be historically mid-90s. So I feel like I'm kind of prepping for that.
Yeah, humidity will be really, really high there too, I bet. So
yeah,
but still, it'll be a wonderful time for you. I'm so jealous. I was supposed to go twice in 2020 and in the summer and for Christmas. And then, I don't know, some sort of worldwide pandemic happened. I didn't get to go.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that because, and kind of segueing back to birthdays, because that was my, I'm also like you, not someone that celebrates the birthdays. And when I was around, you know, mid-30s, early 30s, I started thinking, you know what, for my 40th, I want to do something special. And my 40th would have been 2020. And I was thinking, okay, I'll go to Japan for the Olympics. That'll be great. I've always wanted to go to Japan, yeah. Wanted to do that. And so that was kind of the dream that I kind of had and was starting to plan around. And apparently having a child and then a global pandemic, that kind of changes some plans a little bit in ways that you don't necessarily anticipate.
Yeah, absolutely. I've made no big trips. I almost went to Frankfurt last month end of this month for the Euros, but couldn't make it happen. I had some financing available from some European folks because we're going out to do human rights training, and that didn't work out. ISC did send a couple people, but I couldn't supplement enough on my own.
Yeah,
just because things are tight right now. But that's okay. It was I still got to watch matches, and dang, that's been a crazy tournament. Speaking of which, before we get to Sounders, let's push back for a second because Greg Berhalter got fired today.
You know, there's a side of me that wants to say, that wants to dance on the grave, that wants to celebrate. I am not celebrating anything until I see who they bring in. Unfortunately, I just do not have the faith in U.S. soccer leadership. It's very nepotism and cronyism and just very directionless, and frankly, it feels like their concerns are anything but the final product on the field, and it's just really hard to get excited. Like, okay, look at these U.S. national team rosters. Who excites you? Who do you like root for? Who do you like to see? Because I look back through history, and you know, your Donovans, your Josies, your Dempseys, some people loved cheering for an Alexi Lawless or a Tony Miola. Like, I just don't, a Tim Howard. You've got all these people, and no one really moves the needle for me. Am I getting old? Am I just...
I think so, because Weston McKennie should be moving the needle for you. He's done some dumb stuff in his personal life, but he's that good. He just...
Okay, and honestly, I'm probably holding that again. I'm probably holding a little bit of that against him because some of the stuff he did at key times did rub me in a rough way. So frankly, he's kind of dropped off my pay attention.
And Pulisic, I feel like the hype was too much for him. Like not for him, but the hype was too high, and so I think your expectations of him were too high, so he feels like a disappointment maybe.
Yeah, I think with Pulisic, I think it's just like, oh, you know what? Hey, he's a key player on the team. I just don't have any real connection with him.
Yeah. I think I like the midfield. I like the wingers. I really like Tim Weah, so it's unfortunate what happened. I do think this is probably one of the most talented groups we've ever had. They don't have someone who can score, which is what they really need at forward, at the nine. Although Balogun is probably it. He's exciting me. But more importantly, I think it was Matt Doyle maybe who said like he's the most successful coach of all time because he has the most points per game and listed all this other stuff. And I said, but he also didn't play some of the harder teams sometimes. We had a lot of friendlies against shitty teams.
I think you're onto something there. Wasn't it something like has not beat a top 20 team not named Mexico in the last...
Yeah, top 10, I think top 10 team.
10, yeah. 15. Yeah. Like the record was... And it was a fairly large sample size.
Yeah.
We tied
Brazil at least, but Brazil is garbage right now, so they're in shambles.
Hey, you can't have it both ways.
Right, you can't.
You can't say a stat like that and then discredit the result. So I'm gonna strike that from the record, just... Me trying to be the even heeled person. Ooh, you know,
yeah. I mean, here's the thing is, here's what I said.
Yeah,
this is what I tweeted out. The Federation's decision to fire Greg Berhalter today was a big move. I look forward to the extensive search process for a new USMNT coach, whose guidelines will ultimately settle on Berhalter as the new coach. Because that's what they did last time. That's what they did. They made all the guidelines, and every one of them made it so Berhalter could be the only coach. Now, what I have heard, and I think the fan outrage is one thing. I got to give credit to AO, which you've been a part of. Are you still? Are you about to leave?
It's in the process, but it hasn't officially happened. But yeah, so I am essentially Seattle. Yes. I still care, but I have nothing to do with any part of that statement.
AO National came out and made a statement that he needs to be removed. Dempsey, other people on TV. I mean, Alexi Lawless. Just speaks out of his butt, so we won't count him. But everyone was calling for him to be removed. I think the pressure was too much for them, and that's the only reason they made the move. The Freddie Adu said something interesting. Go for Klopp, which of course they're going to. I don't think we'll get him, but why not? Ask. And then if you can't get him, they seem to think that Hervé will come, but he's the French women's national team coach, and I don't know why he would leave that to come coach the USA men's, other than maybe money.
I mean, well, here's the reality. The high-end managers, as do high-end players, have ego. And that's not a bad thing. Like, you need ego to be that level of great at what you do. You work hard, you put the time in to do that. That's how you get to be that successful. So that's my hypothesis. Any of these candidates, what does the U.S. have going for them? If you are someone that wants to leave a legacy, you have an opportunity to coach the U.S. national team hosting a World Cup.
Yeah.
That is a delicious, tantalizing prospect. And theoretically, that should allow us to get seriously interested candidates that maybe last cycle would have never, like a different level of candidate than what would have been previously available in cycles past. That's just my hypothesis.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. And also they said, I think that's the only thing that is pushing them to actually spend money. They said there is no budget limitation. We will get the best coach that we can. So now, yeah. I would love Zidane. I don't think he would do it.
Do you really think he's got the experience and is the right fit? And I do not have an opinion either way. I'm just curious.
I think he did a pretty good job in his Real Madrid, and has had other opportunities. He had an opportunity for this job before and turned it down. I mean, Klopp obviously is because he's free, he's available, and he teased
has
it.
Has a track record.
Yeah, and he teased it by being like, I remember when we played in America and was posting about the United States once the rumors started. I think he could be a great coach. And my guess is being a national team coach on a day-to-day basis is less pressure than being a Premier League coach because you have less games.
Until you're
not always with the players. Yeah, until it isn't, right. Until it's the World Cup time, and unless you're Gareth Southgate. But I don't think the American media treats the U.S. coach like the European media treats it, though.
I mean, as toxic as certain segments of the fan base can be, I think that it's pretty par for the course on high-level, high programs. You know, I mean, yeah. just... For some of us, maybe if you don't read German, you're not seeing that, or if you're, you know, but so I don't think that's an issue.
If you only they had this whole GM thing back when Jurgen Klinsmann was around, because he would have been the perfect GM, because he brought in so many good players to augment the young.
Yeah,
it was just tactics in game that were kind of off.
Yeah, but he, you know, he got a lot of things on the technical director side right.
Yeah,
he laid a lot of good groundwork for us being so dominant in CONCACAF.
Yeah. Now there was rumors, and they're not obviously true, that maybe CONCACAF and CONMEBOL will mold into one. I'd love it because it would give U.S. real opponents. Playing Mexico and Panama all the time is not beneficial to us.
I'd just be curious if FIFA wants the competition with UEFA.
Yeah,
I mean they probably have their you know, their bylaws would certainly prevent that from happening. But it's how much money do you want to make? Because that's going to make them more money. But
right.
But they need the approval. Yeah,
Did you see the Colombia fans tonight? How many were at that game? Oh my gosh! So they won 1-0.
Yeah,
down a man for half the game. So basically the same situation that USA lost to Panama, and the whole stadium was Colombia fans. It was awesome until the end, when Colombia fans started harassing the families of the Uruguayan players, and those players got in the crowd, and fights broke out between the Uruguay players and the fans.
Yeah,
and
it was, I never want to see that.
No, in Charlotte, I mean, I think the game was in Charlotte. You got to blame them. They had one security guard there that was an older lady. Like, how are you not prepared for this? I think you probably know this. I know this from Alliance Council working with the Sounders, that they're always prepared for stuff like that.
Yeah.
They have their ear on the pulse. They know... ear on the pulse. I just mixed metaphors, but whatever. They have their ear to the ground. They have their finger on the pulse. They know when these threats are coming, and they plan for them.
Do you remember, I think it was last year, there was an incident where an opposing team's ultras stormed or attempted to storm into the family section of another team, and there was like this one guy that basically was at the top of the stairwell preventing them access, and it was like Hodor, you know, hold the door. Yeah. Just it was really amazing, and I just can't remember the details.
Spoilers, man, spoilers. You just gave away so much.
Did I though? Uh-oh.
Not enough, but still.
No other
one of the saddest moments in TV history right there.
Right behind the fact that LAFC just scored their third.
Oh.
That the sad moment in TV history you're talking about.
Yeah. Especially considering KC is currently up 1-0 in the 85th minute on Dallas. Oof. All right. Well, I mean, that's fine.
Boanga.
There you go. You got it ahead of me. I literally just got it on Apple TV right now. Oh, man. Yeah, poor. Okay, so the Sounders will be hosting LAFC unless something miracle happens. And that's fine. It'll be a big game. We don't know where it's going to be. We do know that Brian Schmetzer said it could be something special, but he was not going to give it away. That's what he said in the post game.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means because there's a concert the next day at Lumen Field. So I would be surprised if it were there. I guess it's possible. But usually for those big Lumen Field concerts, they have, setup going on the day before.
You think they're talking about maybe temporary stands at Long Acres?
I don't know. Possibly. Or maybe there's Husky Stadium.
Why would you... I don't see them leaving Starfire for anything other than Lumen.
Yeah, true. So we'll find out. We have no inside information on this. This is all conjecture from us. Maybe we'll play it in Portland Stadium.
Did you ever? Oh, geez, that's a playbook from NYCFC, right? did you ever see the movie Monster Squad? You did, because I recommended that to you when you were doing your Halloween thing a few years ago. Yeah.
Great one that I'd seen back a long, long time ago in the 80s, but didn't remember anything about it.
Oh, it's like a horror version of Goonies. It's fantastic. But I can't look at the LAFC third goal scorer without thinking of Monster Squad. And it's a bogus. Yeah. And sadly, if you've he's seen, good. He is. But if you...
Ooh, Dallas just tied it against SKC.
Is that...
So the winner of SKC Dallas will play Indy 11. That's knocked right. off Atlanta. And then we play the winner of the New Mexico game.
And what happened with that Indy 11 game? Because that game was in Atlanta, wasn't it?
It was. They did not play in their own stadium. They played in like a makeshift stadium.
Empty? And it was empty.
Yeah, well, I think they only filled one half. I think what they did, what we used to
do... Not the camera side.
Yeah, they did not put it on the opposite of the cameras. Where the cameras were, the people were behind them, which was not smart.
Because it looked like 30 it was people.
It was literally empty on the other side. But, Indy 11 went up 2-0. Second one was an own goal. The defender just... solid defender. I'm blanking on his name right now. But he just kicked it right into the goal. And then they got one at the end, but... couldn't keep it together enough to score a second one. So shout out to Indy 11. I like those guys. So it's good to see them succeed. I'd like to play them in the final.
I like a lot of those USL teams, especially once they got rid of the – when they made the switch to the championship versus, Tacoma Defiance wasn't playing against some of those teams because, like, a lot of them. I mean, New Mexico. Indy 11, they did – go to USL. They were NASL for a long time, weren't they?
They might have been. Finally... They are USL for sure. They're USL.
They are USL NAR. Yeah. Okay.
There is an NASL lawsuit happening right now that I don't believe this, but advocates for the lawsuit believe it might undo the entire MLS
structure
because technically I don't know how it's lasted this long. It seems
it's
like
breaking FIFA's rules.
Is breaking FIFA's rules, is breaking...
And U.S. Soccer's rules for...
The United States rules on... my brain is not working today, so I'm not the best to have this discussion right now. Antitrust violations. But somehow they've gotten away with it in every court case so far, so they might let them continue. But if they don't, it may... The pro-rel people may get their wish. Now, if they're really smart, they would just do pro-rel and USL, and they'd force the MLS into it. Because imagine if Ballard FC were now up in USL 2. USL 1. That'd be so cool.
I mean, it's just impossible given the nature of any USL2 team, given the semi-pro stature of them.
Yeah.
But I get it, and I'm a season ticket holder for Ballard FC, so believe me, I get it and I love it. But frankly, I really like the growth of more local teams in the USL2. I like seeing the Midlakes, and I like seeing Tacoma Stars, and yeah, it's the Bellevue based team.
I keep getting confused because
Midlakes United. It sounds like a Minnesota team.
Yeah.
And then
let's not forget Ballard Women announced West Seattle Junction, but Ballard Women announced yesterday.
Yeah. So just really, really exciting stuff, and it's just great for soccer in America, and I am here for it.
Yeah, I think Seattle's turning into London. Not quite the same because they have, I think, what, 8 Premier League teams? But the Seattle area, the Puget Sound area, now has, what, Ballard FC, West Seattle Junction, Midlakes.
Tacoma Stars, Olympia.
Tacoma Stars, two teams in Olympia. And then USL women team coming in, and then the Sounders and the Rain. I mean, that's 9 teams right there. So let's keep it going. This is a soccer city, man.
And everyone, you know, and everyone does it a little different. I'm a season ticket holder for the Rain, for the Ballard, and for the Sounders. And each one's a completely different experience from the other. And so I think there's a lot of room for that, and they draw different types of crowd too, and I like that.
Most definitely.
And then we can't even forget the most important league in Seattle, the ECS Pub League.
Oh, you know, of course.
Clearly.
Your championships just happened, right?
Yes. Yes.
And when do the new signups happen, since I guess I
so that. This Saturday will be the pre-registration party for any returning players. If you come to the party, you're guaranteed registration for the next season. On Monday, this coming Monday, the 15th, they will go on sale through our website. However, I do urge anyone who is potentially interested, you do need new players that have not been evaluated, do need to be seen before you can sign up. That is a requirement because this is a beginner league. It's not a league for everyone. The thing about Pub League, I'm just going to wax poetic for just about 30 seconds, if I may. The thing about Pub League that is really important that people sometimes don't understand is we've created a space for people who literally have no room in any of the other soccer leagues around Seattle. We've also simultaneously created that as a really fun spot. So people who love to play soccer naturally love playing with us. The problem is, a lot of times we do have to turn away people for being too good. And it's not that, Oh, but I can play down. I'm recovering from injury, but I, you know, started on my college or my high school team, but that was 15 years ago, and I'm older. But we're talking about you're playing against people who literally have never kicked a ball until 2 years ago, and so it's kind of one of those things that we try to find them a spot like, oh, you're too good for our league, but we also have, you know, 9 teams across ECSFC. We'd love to put you in touch with the right people and get you a spot. I know that's not always desirable for people. And it's just kind of, it's almost a good problem to have because it means we've created something really special. But the reality is I've got to do, at least from my part in leadership, there's 6 of us in leadership. My part, I'm always going to advocate for the people who have nowhere else to play. And if we brought in so much higher end talent that those lower end talent don't feel like they're getting touches, don't feel like they're able to get a sniff at, you know, getting shots off or goals, then we're doing something wrong. So I do apologize if it feels like we're gatekeeping. That's never the intention.
But you're gatekeeping the good way, right? It's not like you're saying, oh, you can't play, you're not good enough. You're doing it the other way, and you're saying, you're too good, get out of here. Like, go play in a league that belongs for you. This is for people that are not at that level.
It's like the equivalent of being a grown-ass man and wanting to play in the Chuck E. Cheese playground. Yeah, it's a cool-ass playground, but it's not for you. And by not for you, I mean me. It's not for me. And I want to play in it. I want to.
And what is considered being seen playing? Like, I came out. Am I considered seen because I played on the field?
You've been evaluated. That's okay. Exactly right. We do have a Facebook page. It's called Pub League Offseason Practices, the PLOP page, PLOP. And throughout, when we're not playing, when we're in between seasons, basically every weekend, we do a kick around for pub league players and try to evaluate people that are interested in the league. And the problem is, even with that said, we sell out fast enough where usually we'll have 10 to 25 players that miss the sign-in and are just out of luck for the season. And and we've expanded the teams. We've expanded to a point where we really can't get much bigger. But it's something we're always trying to evaluate. We're always trying to, we spend, for a completely volunteer run organization, we collectively spend many hours a week without pay, without any benefit for us. Like, all of us still pay our own fees for the league, so we're not getting anything. You know, we're not that corrupt. We haven't figured out how to parlay this into Tahiti trips. We're working on that, but we're just not there yet. So it's tough because, you know me, I love being welcoming. I love bringing people together. And sometimes I almost fear like we're getting close to the max of what we can accommodate in the league, and we're just going to keep on trying to do what we can and keep figuring it out as we go.
Yeah. So if someone goes to PLOP, then they get a chance to register when fall registration opens on the 15th?
Yeah. So we will have a PLOP this weekend on Sunday. They do need to specifically be evaluated. So if they are coming, let us know, hey, I want to get evaluated. I want to see what you're all about.
We'll give it again at the end, but if anyone has questions, can they reach out to you on social media?
Yeah, absolutely. Also, you know, our Facebook page is very active between the six of us that run it, ECS Pub League.
Yeah, I'm on it right now. Looks good. I'm seeing, and it's got all the information there where you can learn how to register about PLOP and all of that. What? Nowhere though it mentions cost. Are you allowed to say that?
I am. I believe for this season it is $110 for non-ECS members and $100 for ECS members. I might be off by $10. It might be $120, $110. But that also includes a jersey and 20 games, and you know, and we always throw a mid-season barbecue for people. We've just created a wonderful community.
I can attest to that. I came out and I knew some people there, some, not a lot, but most of the people I knew, other than Dwayne, who usually would play on the better side on the premier division. He came over to the Classic and was playing, just kicking the ball around, having fun, not like super into it. But so I had to make new friends, and I'm not good at that. And I was welcomed I'd seen a lot of the people. You've introduced me to them, but I don't know them. And yeah, Everyone was very welcoming and, giving me drinks and food and everything. I mean, it was super fun, and it was a really welcoming community.
And that's the part that kills me, is we do hype this up, and it is even more fun than it sounds. But recognizing at the same time that every year we sell out really quick, and and we're just not going to be able to have space for everyone. And so it's a bummer, but
maybe time to start adding a few more teams.
I mean, we are really kind of at the, we are kind of at the cap of what we can do because we rent the fields ourselves. We provide the refs. We do all that. We're kind of at the cap what we can do time wise. What we, you know, what I'd love to see is we'd love to share our model with anyone that wants to learn. I know, Portland's trying to make their version of a pub league. I know it's just a really special thing. And, you know, I just always believe in soccer, bringing community together.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's a good stopping point from that because I could literally turn this into way too long of a talk about pub league.
Yeah. So let's talk Sounders. And I have one more bit of scuttlebutt, I guess, before we get back into U.S. Open Cup, other than the fact that
Aaron's going to kill us. He's going to kill us. We're 40 minutes in and we haven't even...
Hey, if we get under 90 minutes, I think we're good here.
You know what? Let's shoot for that. We can make that happen. We can do that.
And who knows? Maybe we'll run out of things to say.
Okay. We can turn this into a really bad drinking game when it's you and me as a host. I can tell you that.
Kansas City, Dallas into overtime now 1-1. Dallas missed a really great shot right near the end there.
LAFC won. That game is a final.
Yeah. So there was a rumor that has come out of what country is this?
Balkans, Croatia, Serbia.
I mean, it's come out of Dinamo Zagreb,
yeah,
which is the best team there. So, player out of Croatia named Dario, and I. Bickic.
Oh man, another one of those? No,
I don't know. I don't know how to say
Durlis Gonzalez. What?
Yeah, no, Dario Spikic out of Dinamo Zagreb. There's, you know, looking up, Sounder at Heart did a write-up on it. Transfer Market also did. The transfer market value is set at $2 million.
Yep.
And it sounds like he's 25, regular starter for the best team in Croatia over the last two seasons. He has 11 goals and 7 assists in 3,600 minutes, which is a 0.45 per 90 goal contribution, which, you know, I think... he's likely more of a, would be more of a backup forward or winger, as opposed to a starter at those numbers. But, you know, who knows in the MLS, and moving forward, what could happen, but what do you think of us signing like that? Knowing we don't have a lot of money available. I'm not sure what cap space we have. We know we got rid of, Arriaga, who we played, this past weekend.
$600,000, something like that. I was trying to say $6.5 million, but that's not
but how because that works. It's because we told set him at half the season. Over the, we only get half of that back, and it includes a transfer fee. So if this is going on, that I don't know if this means another move is possible to open up more money.
Possibly, but a transfer fee is amortized over the life of a contract. So depending on how long that is, those rules get a little funky. Realistically, it's my understanding that we've got to be looking for something that's a loan with an option to buy. And that could be something here where, hey, you know what? We're going to do a loan because we literally don't have the money right now. So we'll pick up the contract.
Sold, if he's the player, I guess they could do a long-term contract and make it so that transfer fee goes out over it. But you have to know he's the player.
Like I think you have to do something similar to what they did, what LAFC did with, Gareth Bale, first season was a loan, I believe.
Almost said Christian Bale.
Right?
Yeah,
where it's like, oh, but or I don't think it was Gareth. It was one of the other people during that transfer window.
No, I think
window.
He was alone too. Maybe, or yeah, maybe. But it was, they did, it was the other guy
where it was like a guarantee. It was a wink, wink. Oh, if you hit these numbers. Right. But yeah. Right. Anyhow, so not to say it can't happen. I'd be curious to see how it works. With that said, and speaking of Christian Bale, there is somewhere I'm going with this. If you go to Transfer Market and you look up Dario's profile picture, to me, he looks like Gary Oldman's character in The Fifth Element.
Yeah.
He just needs that funky clear hat thing.
It's the mustache. It's the mustache. Yeah,
it's 100% the mustache and the eyes. It's very 90s villain, 90s movie villain. Mm-hmm. Man, that's going to bite me in the ass when he comes to town. And yeah. But it seems like about the right kind of profile. You've got to think that. You've got to think there's some real questions of whether we are going to sign, whether we're going to sign Albert Rusnak to a TAM level contract after this season, because I cannot see us signing him to a DP level contract. So we need someone that can play multiple positions on the band.
I think it depends on what he's doing. I mean, come on.
We don't know. With
4 goals and 10 assists, I mean, he's turned into the best player on our team.
Yes. I'm curious to see what happens. I mean, the reality is,
the level he's at now, he can be paid down to TAM. So yes, maybe they would be willing to sign him at a DP level and pay him down to a TAM level rather than, and so we still have that spot open. But you're right, we could have potentially two DP spots open. It doesn't seem like Raul is going to come back at this point, although the rumors that they had broken off negotiations apparently were false.
Yeah, that's pretty straightforward. But at the same time, I just do not see any world in which he stays on a DP level. I just can't see it happening. And especially what we're seeing on the field right now, where he's coming on as super sub, it's just not going to happen. Rui Diaz.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was about to say, yeah. Rusnak's starting. I think if Rusnak continues what he's been doing the last, since he's been healthy, essentially, I think he potentially could be a DP. You're completely right on Rui Diaz. I don't even think they would bring him back at a TAM contract at this point. So it's going to be one of those things that's like,
it might be a, hey, get as much money as you can, my friend. Thank you for all of your service. This is, it's probably going to be a conversation where Craig Weibel will say, hey, this is literally the most we can give you.
Yep.
We want you to get whatever you can, but we're not going to hold you back.
And I could see him, especially if he stays in the MLS, coming back to coach the youth in the youth system here because of how good he is with the young players.
I have no issues with anything with Raul right now. Even the suspension, again, and this comes back to ego, what we were just talking about at the top of the show, where you are talking about a athlete who is in the elite level, at a role that is historically, you know, being a striker, that's a level of ego that just it takes a skill set to be successful at that, to demand the ball, to want the ball, to take the shots, to feel like you're going to be able to do that. He possesses all those skills. That's a great thing. It is always a challenge for any manager, general manager, to have to manage expectations for people who are on the downward trend of their career. And we saw Garth do that with Brad Evans. We saw the Sounders have to do that with Clint Dempsey when his body couldn't keep up. His heart wasn't able to keep up body wise. You see it happen. We saw last year with Nico. These are just tough things. I don't begrudge players for having emotions on that. In fact, I want my players to have emotion, hopefully channeled in a positive way. But yeah, I've got no qualms about anything with Rui Diaz right now.
No. And I mean, it is interesting. I think that I think that part of the suspension didn't have to do with him. Didn't have to do with Nuhu. Because they left the stadium, right? And so for Schmetzer, it's like, you don't disrespect the fans like that.
Yeah.
You don't leave. Unless you're hurt, you don't just leave like that. But I think it was also sending a message to the rest of the team.
Yeah.
Because it's showing that no one's above the law. You have a starter. You have, yeah, he's coming off the bench, but a star player on this team.
And one of your best offensive players, one of your best defensive players.
Yeah. And you
at
said,
a time
you know
when
what?
You need points.
Yeah, and you said, you know what? We could use you in this game against was it New England? Was it yeah? Or was it the game before?
No. It was the game before that. It was
Chicago.
Thank you.
Yeah, we could use you, but you
but
know
Chicago
what?
Really sucks, so we're going to take our chances.
Yeah,
calculated. It might have been a little bit of a calculated risk.
Yeah, New England would have been a little scarier considering they had won 4 or 5, but. But I think it sent a really good message to the rest of the team as well. And sometimes, I mean, I've seen that working for the Superhawks where sometimes a player that gets cut maybe isn't the worst player in the team. It may be another player who just isn't fitting quite right, doesn't have as much connection to the team, and you cut them to send a message to those other players. You better shape up or you're not going to be on this team anymore either.
You're absolutely right. And I have a little anecdote of that. Literally happening where on my college team, I played college hockey, Division II team. Now keep in mind, I was a third string goalie. So, you know, I made it onto the team and I was happy with that. I took that as free ice hockey for a season and getting multiple days a week of practice and getting to go travel for games and all that. So I was happy as shit. There was a game where our coach was not happy with our effort. And he absolutely tore into the team. And then he points at me and he goes, look at Biela. He never complains. He shows up to practice. He does everything we ask him to do with no promise of playing time, with no guarantee of playing time. And he's starting our next game because if you don't want to be here, fuck it. We'll bring in people who do.
Right.
Cause I would rather have someone who's going to give me everything and be there. And which kind of simultaneously made me feel great, but also kind of made me like, oh, yikes, you know? But it's that exact message. And that happens behind closed doors of sports all the time. I mean, yep. we've seen Brian do that back in the, that Levy Films documentary back in the day, when he was an assistant coach for one of those playoff games where he tore into the team. So we've seen that happen.
Yeah.
I know it's a deep cut right there.
Very deep cut, but
it's rare that you get that in behind the closed
right.
doors.
It's a film
view.
Worth watching if you're a Sounders fan. It's out there somewhere, and it is.
Was it called American Football?
Something American... like that. If you look up Steve Levy films, you can find it. You know, I had some. It's very long. It's too long for a documentary. In modern age, they probably would have been made into a docuseries. But
yeah,
it's
and it was 2013 Sounders. That feel about right. It was
yeah,
Eddie Johnson.
Did you go to the screening at?
I did not at Cinebar or Cinerama. Yeah,
Cinerama. I got to go to a screening of it at Cinerama, and it was so fun. Took my dad, and he was loving it. But the natural stopping point was before the final playoff games, just because of the storytelling. And then it kept going. So it kind of dragged, but very impressive.
But it's tough because he had such great footage and very beautiful
impressive.
Footage
yeah.
where it's almost like a shame to put it on, especially if you're not going to have a DVD with extra features.
Yeah.
So I get it.
Yeah.
But
we all need an editor for ourselves. That's as now having worked in film now, I know that we always need someone to tell us when stuff needs to be cut out.
Are you not seeing the irony of you and I speaking? Like Aaron's like, where?
I'm not cutting any of this out, Aaron. In fact, when we switch from now that we've switched from Scuttlebutt, you know, into Talking Sounders, I'm not even gonna play your little halftime song. I'm just gonna go like it's Wayne's World. Now we're in the second half of the show.
Yay! I'm in Delaware.
Yay! Miwake.
Algonquin for the Promised Land. Wow,
we're showing our age here.
We are. Yeah, between deep cuts from the 2013 season all the way to okay, but all kidding aside, in all seriousness, in putting a bow on that, yeah, we're not going to see those behind the scenes punishments, or we're not going to get the satisfaction of seeing what decision makes making Brian does. So sometimes we have to take it with a grain of salt that tactically, whether he's getting it right or wrong, or even laying the blame or the success on, you know, on what our team is doing, because mm-hmm. we never get the full picture. And sometimes it's that's both a good thing and a bad thing. It means we get the armchair quarterback. But sometimes it almost feels like it's doing a disservice to some of these people where they don't get to defend themselves because that's not how this works.
Yeah. And just to follow up, American Football, you were correct. It's available on the website is Levy, L-E-V-Y, LLC.com. If you just search Levy, L-E-V-Y, American Football, you'll find it. Digital download is $6. Nice. Or you can rent it and watch it for $5.
Why? Just buy it.
Yeah. They do sell, it looks like, Blu-rays as well if you wanted. But if you just have to sign up for a Vimeo account. In fact, I am going to buy it right now.
Nice.
Because I love it. And I
time capsule.
Watch it. Yeah. I mean, it is. Also, maybe I'll want to talk to him about his experience.
And also Authentic Masterpiece was Gassman's book that came out around that same time, which is also great about the first season of Sounders history. So those of you who maybe
how
haven't
the team
been around
came about too.
Like, yeah. And it's a great read about how the MLS team came about. And definitely highly recommended for those, especially here in our 50th season, trying to get a good understanding of our history. And I know that's something that you and I deeply care about.
Let's talk about it real quick. You know what? We'll talk about Sounders someday in the future. This is Sounders related, but you and I started a project, 6 years ago?
7 years ago?
Seven years ago.
Yeah, you, me, and Daniel Rowe.
And Daniel Rowe, of course. And you know, shout out to Kelsey and Molly and some others that were involved. But I think what we did is what ended up coming, like what the project we put together is what ended up coming to fruition, where we wanted a Sounders Hall of Fame, and we've been asking for it for a long time, and there were some roadblocks, not from the Sounders.
We'll just leave it at that. They're just challenges, but it was something we believed strongly in. Yep. and we put together a really detailed package outlining how we thought it could look, how it could be formed, where it could be, how it could be voted on and curated and moderated. And we really spent a lot of time being very deliberate about that and really thinking these things out, with no promise, no guarantee that it would be received in any way, shape, or form, in a positive, negative, anything, and no expectation. But we believed in it. And to the club's credit, they had kind of, it's clear, especially in retrospect, it's clear they had this intended for the 50th. They thought that the 50th was a good launching point. Because when we first launched it, it was in between the 40th and the 45th season.
It was the 10-year anniversary of the MLS team.
Yeah.
And that, so they focused more on that at that time.
Yeah.
But it fit perfectly with the 50th. And now we have the, is it Hall of Legends? Is that?
Circle of Legends is the official title.
And then there will be a hall that is the physical location of where the Circle of Legends will take place at Long Acres.
Yeah, and I think it's definitely a step in the right direction. There's a lot of things that, you know, I'm a history geek. I truly believe in understanding where we're coming from and respecting that, not just on a soccer level, but there's definitely a lot of that on the Sounders side as well. And it's great to see, this season in particular. Like, I love every match day, they're honoring a different Sounder from the past and doing a meet and greet with them over in the South Concourse over by the Seahawks Super Bowl sign. Last week it was Wade Weber, Zach Awani earlier in the year, Hahnemann, Lamar Nagel, Ozzy Alonso, Pepe Fernandez was part of that. Kellen Rowe.
I don't think they've done my eighth grade English teacher yet, have they? I'm looking forward to that one when Tony Chersky comes.
Correct. Tony was not part of that. I'm looking forward to Zach Scott. Yeah. You know, and I love that, and I hope, and I've certainly shown my appreciation, and I take Roma there. We just try and, you know, become part of our pregame ritual.
She's what, 4 years old now?
4 years old.
Sadly, there is about an age, because I went through this with Moses, who was Sam Chesno's son, who was on Alliance Council back in the day, and I used to babysit Moses. He is now 17 and in high school. But yeah. From like 2 or 3 until about 7, he was way into it. But 7, 8, 9, he did not care about the Sounders. But once he hit 10, boom, right back into it. So I worry that Roma might not care for a little bit. But you know what? She will always come back because of what you're doing now.
I mean, I can't tell you how great it is. Like this last game, she held up a 2-pole that was fellow Scuttlebutt Discord member Eric always brings.
Nice.
So Roma was like wanting to hold the 2-pole up and be just like Eric. She's singing the songs, you know, anytime she loves Brian Schmetzer, anytime she sees Brian Schmetzer, she's like Brian Schmetzer's Rave Green Army and singing it in her little 4-year-old voice. It's adorable. It makes me really happy. And I just love giving that to her. So this circle of this honoring a Sounder from the past every game day, I love that. It gives a chance to show our appreciation for those that came before us, especially those who came pre-MLS.
Yeah, big shout out to Kelsey Gallo.
Frank McDonald,
and they had another. There's several people.
Molly Wagner,
yeah, that were last home match, or was maybe it was the one before. It was the Chicago match. They did the Scarves Up Seattle with the Washington Legends. So shout out to them who really kept the history of the Sounders alive. When the Sounders have openly admitted that in the beginning, they didn't look to the history; they looked only forward, and now. With this 50th anniversary, they're bringing that history back. So we look back 50 years and we look forward 50 years. And so now it's like everything is one finally.
And not just Sounders, but also Seattle soccer and yeah. Puget Sound soccer. I know, I don't want to speak for Molly, but I know she was always a big supporter of Kitsap Pumas.
Absolutely.
I believe, again, I don't want to speak for her. And I know she has a lot of passion for some of these clubs that have been lost to time in a lot of eyes.
Sharktopus FC has SC has a weren't they one game away from the US Open Cup last
mm-hmm,
year?
Mm-hmm.
Their jerseys
they were in
available.
The playoff game or the play-in game.
Their jerseys are now available again on Olive and York. So if you want an amazing jersey from a local team that would have been, I mean, they're below USL 2. So it's like the bottom rung. It's you and me. It's our pub league team coming together and making it to the US Open Cup.
did you miss the part where I talked about how much we suck?
But if suddenly there was a run, like just
there's not suddenly a run, but no,
it's like an ECS pub league team making ECS FC team.
Correct. That is,
but no, there's lots of great clubs, and there's been a lot of people that have really championed the history, and we're seeing some of these players die off, sadly, and people who, somewhere in my archives, I have an interview from a podcast that never got made with an Adrian Webster interview. And sadly, he's passed away. And he probably wrote more prolifically on the Sounders than anyone else with, I think he has like 4 or 5 books out. that you can still get. There's a long history, and I'm glad that the Sounders are getting
honoring it in an appropriate way, and in a very deliberately thought out way. Like it's very easy to have just thrown something together, and that's not what they did. They took the idea. They ran with it. They added some things that we hadn't done that I was really pleased with. Yeah. And they kept us included in the process, which I also very much appreciate. I
think largely it was, we did so much research at looking at so many other Hall of Fames at the national level, at team level, at local levels.
Different sports, different styles.
And they took all of that because we had done the work, and it's largely included in there. By the way, Dallas just...
SKC
scored a header off of a corner probably about 2 minutes ago, but I didn't want to cut you off when you were talking.
No.
And are up in the 111th minute out of 120. So... we will see if Dallas can pull one back, but Dallas had their chance to win it right before the end of regular time, and now they're in the 112th minute, down 2-1. Well, let's talk Sounders, if that's okay.
That's a good stopping point. Yeah, I think that's a good, hey, force cutoff. Let's do it.
So Sounders played U.S. Open Cup match. Are you laughing because we have to go all the way back? Yeah, I see the time.
Because we're 65 minutes in, and yes, I love it.
We're just getting to it. I think I will say this. Craig's obviously thinks about these kind of tournaments different than Garth, because even though we've been playing young players, we've been mixing in older players in a way that maybe we hadn't been in the past. And then we saw this match come, and it was mainly starters that were out there in a big game against a good USL championship team.
On the road. In
hot.
Crazy heat where higher injury risk.
Yeah, they moved it back to 8 p.m. It could have been a really hard... I mean, it was a really hard fought game. 2-1 final, of course, but... What did you think going into that? I mean, I was worried. I don't know about you. And I also didn't know what the lineup was. But as soon as I saw the lineup, and it was largely, I think, Jonathan Bell in for Reagan, maybe, but otherwise largely a starting lineup for the Sounders.
Yeah, I think overall, granted, I'm the anal retentive person that looks back through the history. When you get to this stage of the U.S. Open Cup and you look at the lineups.
True.
I think, generally speaking, at this stage, you're looking at five starters in your lineup, and I thought we did a little bit better than that. I thought, like when we look at our starting 11, you had Morris, Rusnak, João Paulo, Atencio, Nuhu, Yamar, Christian. That's seven starters.
Right. And I think
that doesn't even include Baker.
Bell could be a starter if Reagan is injured or off. Like, I could see him starting.
100%. But I'm trying to be just like straight up who our starters are. But then our bench, we had Reagan, Alex, Obed, De La Vega, and Rui Diaz.
Yeah.
So, I mean... That's what I want to see when you're in the final eight. You go for it. I get it that you kind of hold. It's a gradual build up into it. That I get it. And historically, even during the years we won MLS Cup, that's what we were doing. We also just had the benefit of playing many, many, many home games during those runs.
That's true.
So at a time when other teams weren't taking it as seriously.
Yeah.
So these were. So let's not have some revisionist history here. It's not that the Sounders haven't been taking it seriously or less seriously than they had in the past. It's just that the times have changed.
Yeah, and I think also when Garth, we often would lose in earlier rounds. The balls just weren't bouncing our way.
When you're taking those risks in those earlier rounds. It was interesting to see LAFC this year play a similar lineup to what we just played like two rounds ago.
Yeah.
So, and I don't think there's any mistake that, hey, they're one of the final four.
But they also, was it last year or the year before where they lost US Open Cup? They lost MLS Cup and they lost Leagues Cup. Did they lose another cup? Is there other cups?
Yeah,
to lose?
Champions League. They, the one game chance. So they basically played so many games with no reward for it. Like they played the max amount of games you could play without winning a trophy.
It's impressive that they've stayed playing well, because usually when you play that many games, there's some sort of hangover. But
I mean, yeah, it's so. That's just my way of saying, I hate to be the contrarian when people are wanting to be emotional and go, oh, we don't take Open Cup seriously. It's like, this is par for the course of what we've done historically. And I'm a data guy, so I try to look at that kind of stuff. But that's my soapbox. So with that said, was very pleased. I thought realistically we were probably going to have one to two less starters. Mm-hmm. I thought maybe one of our midfield might not have come through, but we had three of our, you know, we had three of four on the back line. If you're counting Christian or Alex, Christian's a starter, even though it's not normally at right back. Yeah. I'm going to count him as three of four. So I thought it was great. Crazy to see that stat that Jordan Morris hasn't played in an Open Cup since 2016.
That was his first goal was shocking to me.
Yeah, but it makes sense because we haven't. Yeah.
We've been getting knocked out in early rounds where he wouldn't be on the field.
And 2016 was his rookie season, wasn't it?
I believe so. That sounds right.
Did he have his rookie season the same year as Christian?
Oh, he may have been the year after, but I could see if, because they're such good friends, that's the case. I don't, it's hard for me to, because he was always a part of the system. And so, like, he was in the academy for so long before he went to Stanford. So I'd have to go back. But you know what? Ultimately, it's incredible that you can have someone who's a local be able to come up and score. I guess wasn't the game-winning goal because we needed a second one, but still a great goal.
It was the game-winning goal because Atencio got the opening goal.
Oh, you're right. Score, yeah, and that was, you know, deflected, but what a great thing
for Atencio. Shot on frame.
Yeah, and the fact that Atencio is not a starter, right? The only reason he's not starting is because Obed and JP are such a good pairing that when JP's out there, it helped he and Obed play better together. If JP weren't there, Atencio would be starting. If that pairing weren't so good, I think Atencio would be starting. Because you watch how they play together, JP and Atencio can play great. But JP and Obed are, to me, their connection is similar to Dempsey and Oba. They just know where they're going to be. He's worked from a young age with Obed to say, this is when you can go forward. And Obed's talked about that, where he has the ability to move in a way and the freedom to do stuff that he hasn't been able to do when JP is not there.
But I do have a question for you, though, with that in mind. How much of that do you think is the fact that Obed is potentially transferable, like someone that, you know, might pay some money, so getting more looks is a benefit, like if all else is equal or close to equal? Because keep in mind, it's gonna sound crazy to say this out loud, Atencio's 22, Obed's 18. It's so hard to
Obed's ceiling is higher. Atencio could be, I mean he's going to the Olympics, right? But I can't see him being more than a MLS all-star level player. I could be wrong. I've been wrong about other. Cody Baker went from me to a nobody to somebody I think should be starting at left back.
And then we're not even talking about players like Sam Rogers help me out, who went to Norway, Henry Wingo, who kind of came out of nowhere to be someone that developed into.
You saw the what could be but they weren't developing in our system or in the way the Sounders are. Like, I honestly don't think Smetcher would play Obed just because of the money if that were the case. I think he would. I think he's always going to play who he thinks is going to win the game. Now, I may not always agree with that. I may think someone else might be a better chance. In this instance, I think I do, just because of the way they play together. But I don't. Yeah. I mean, the fact that they let him take number eight shows the faith they have in him, and that he is starter level quality. And I think within, I would be surprised if the rumors about Obed's sale, they seem too low, considering
they do seem a little low. But
what he could be, and his potential future. I think a year from now he could be going to Europe and going to something bigger rather than Mexico. So. I think that would be a better move for him ultimately, unless he wants to cement himself as the starting midfielder for the Mexican national team. Then maybe going to a big club in Mexico could help him, since he did, of course, just switch over.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong in that at all. But you know, we'll see.
We'll see. So, Sounders score two, then give up one on a play where Nuhu does not follow his man all the way to the post.
Oops.
Kind of frustrating. Nuhu's going to Nuhu, though. That's the thing with Nuhu, is his ceiling's high, but his floor is low. I wish we had Nuhu and Hunu. That'd be super fun. But I don't know. I felt pretty nervy at the end there. I was worried that we were going to give up a goal, just because we've seen it in other games in this tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, the Open Cup, especially when you've got a hungry team that wants to knock off an MLS team, it's always dangerous. Equally so when a certain uncle is reffing. Yeah.
Shut your... We're not going to pay for that. But yeah, totally. But we did it. We won 2-1. Advanced. I think I came away happy with the result. I think the team was happy. Coach said after the game, Jordan is the fittest he's ever been. Jordan, a few years ago, never would have been able to play three games in that time period, let alone two in 72 hours. And the fact that he could shows how much he's grown in an athlete post-injury, because it you know, those injuries aren't just quick comebacks. It takes a long time. And he still, when he runs, looks like he's hurt every single time, you know.
But that's also been that's his gait. He always runs like
KC
that.
KC wins 2-1 in overtime, game final. So it'll be KC, Indy, and us versus, that you're correct, it is like that.
And honestly, KC Indy should be interesting. I don't know where that game is, if it's in Indy or KC, but it seems like it's close enough to make a interesting drive between them.
Yeah, I don't think they're very far. I'll have
it's
to ask
far,
Catherine
it's
Reed.
Far enough, but it's also, it's drivable. Like, it's I'm driving if I'm driving if it's me. By the way, it is a... it's a 7-hour drive. So,
okay.
But because that Midwest is, but at the same time, yeah, I'm doing that drive.
For
because,
that part of the country, it's not bad. They're used to long drives. They do it all the time.
Yeah. Growing up in Buffalo, basically, you know, there were, you know, cities that were within a 8-hour drive were like New York, Boston, Montreal, Pittsburgh, Columbus, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Chicago, DC, Baltimore, Philly, Boston, I think I said Boston, Montreal, Ottawa, and I would go to concerts in all those cities. So that's one of the cool things about that area.
Here's the thing. Obviously, I want the Sounders to win it. If we're not going to, I'd rather lose to Indy 11 in the final. I don't want to lose to LAFC. I don't want to lose to KC. I hate both those teams.
You don't want a repeat of the 2012 U.S. Open Cup final where we got Salazar.
Oh no, I lost my mind. I smashed a plate because I was so mad. And then I put his job's phone number on the internet it was a very, don't do that. It was not a good moment in my life. Sam Chesno and Rich Oliver were there and saw it happen with their own eyes.
It's ironic that in future seasons that I gained a lot of respect for Salazar.
Oh, because he became a better ref.
Well, not only that, yeah, I mean, and yeah, exactly. And it kind of bummed me out when I found out he had a health issue that prevented him from being a center ref. And I think then he was like an advisor for pro.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there was a health issue or something that prevented him from being a center ref. I can't remember the details. Where I was like, whatever happened to Ricardo Salazar, you know, but yeah, like, I thought he certainly.
But here's the thing. Sounders can win it all.
Yeah.
If they do, they will Final be five-time winners, which will put them tied with Maccabi Los Angeles, who won it in the, 81 was their last win. So they won throughout the late 70s. I think they won 5 times in 7 years and were runners-up in those other 2 years or something like that.
Jesus.
And then Bethlehem Steel.
In the dark days, then no one cared. And then Bethlehem Steel, that was like the 30s. And
yeah, their last win was in 1926. And then their one loss was in 1918. So they, you know, they're dating back to the Seattle Metropolitan.
Seattle Metropolitan, yeah.
You know. So it's a... It would put the Sounders in rare air. No MLS team has ever done that. So it looks like they won it in 1913-14, were semifinalists in 14-15, and then won it 16-17-18-19.
Yeah.
Semifinal in 21, and then won it for the last time in 24. And then they didn't play in it again. They only existed from, well, it's pretty long for back then, 1911 to 1930. So cool bit of history there. I guess 1907 is actually when they started, but, started 117 years ago. So the Sounders could make a great bit of history if we win this.
It still bums me out when we had to cancel because of COVID, because I love that it was the oldest continuous cup competition in the world.
Yeah.
Again, back to history, that stuff is the kind of dad stuff that I just eat up. You know, it's like, you know, yeah. Yeah. Anyways,
for sure.
It's a bummer. So, Final Four. Yay.
Yeah, Final Four. Why don't, you know what, we've done U.S. Open Cup episodes on here. Why don't we just make this a U.S. Open? We won't even talk about Austin. We won't even talk about the run where the Sounders have just gotten...
Four straight home wins,
and they've gotten... let's see, -2. So they got 13 points out of a possible 15 in their last 5 games, which is incredible.
Haven't we been the, wouldn't we be in like second place overall over the last 15 games or something like that? Something weird. Cause while we haven't been dominating until recently, we're scoring multiple goals. Funny how that works, you know, score multiple goals, we win games. But we weren't losing either. We were getting a lot of draws, and it wasn't particularly exciting. But it doesn't help when we don't have our ideal starting 11 starting.
I mean, that's the thing is we're currently in 7th in points per game.
Yeah,
we're also in 7th in points. So I am surprised that Portland is ahead of us in the new power rankings. They are 9th and we're 10th. Because whatever. I think we've been hotter than them. But yeah, who cares about rankings? You know, we were around 1 and we're almost up to 1.5. We're at 1.41. So we've been killing that number. Now, can we catch LAFC, who's at over 2 points a game, or Salt Lake, who's almost 2 points a game? Could be tough, but we play them. And those head-to-head games matter. So I think our track to the playoffs is clear. We are 6 points out of behind Colorado for fourth place. We were 3 points behind them, I thought. So they must have won a game since our last. But they've also played a game more than us. So we could make the top four, and I think easily make a run for top three. Now after that, we're gonna have to fight. We're gonna have to do something special because we only have 8 wins on the season. 8-7-7. But hey, weirder things have happened. Remember 2016?
Okay, first off, interesting you bring up 2016, given that just a few weeks ago, we were pretty much on pace with that 2016 season.
Oh, we finished at the Ziggy line. We finished 2 points above.
I know your trademark Ziggy line.
We beat it, though. We beat it, and then we've been only good since.
But interestingly, is not only that, but much like that 2016 season, what's going to be our catalyst for the second half is bringing in a number 10, a new player onto the team. And I believe Pedro de la Vega. It's funny because, you know, having your talented players starting on your team is going to make you a better team. Of course, that's conjecture since he's not starting just yet. Knock on wood. And hopefully yeah. I expected to see him on the bench. I do not expect to see him start in Austin, even though he didn't play this game, only because of the previous statements about going a little more cautious with Pedro and the fact that it's going to be Austin and it's probably going to be balls hot.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see what happens, who we start, especially coming off of a lot of players playing a lot of minutes in the last three games, but... You know
it's going to be 91 degrees, by the way, on
I'm
Saturday.
Okay with treating it like a midweek game and going for a draw, to be honest.
Basically, what is it about us having to go to... How come it seems like the last three, including this year, the last three times we go to Austin, that's like, oh, play the teenagers. Like it's like, oh, it's going to be hot. The teenagers can handle it. They can handle the heat.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was the coming out party for, what, Reed Baker, Whiting, and Obed, and there was more people. Tevez, who else was in that game? We started like six of them, right?
Yeah, five teenagers in that game.
Yeah, and then Rui Diaz popped on late in that
game. But Rui Diaz had the half-court banger
game. That's all that mattered.
Yep.
Shout out to him. And yeah, I mean, I it'll be interesting. We got Austin is behind us in the standings, so they have one more loss than us. They're 8-6-8 where we're 8-7-7. So their goal differential is -6. I don't know what their form is at home, so let's take a look at that.
6-2-3.
And they are coming off of a 2-1 win over New York City, a 2-0 loss to Sporting KC, a 1-0 win over a red-carded Minnesota, and a 1-1 draw hosting LAFC. So, and then, of course, Colorado beat them, and Real Salt Lake destroyed them, and Portland beat them. So they were having a rough go of it, and now they've kind of righted the ship a little bit. So it's not going to be an easy game, and it's a 5:30 start here. So what's a 7:30 start there? So it's normal time for Apple TV. Probably more like, are they actually starting at that time now and doing the pregame before, or are they starting with their 20 minutes after that?
Well, if they're locking it in, if they're calling it 7:30 and it's Apple TV and not a national, it'll probably start at 7:37.
Yeah. Okay. And also, man, a lot of news coming out from that Uruguay-Colombia game. Darwin Nunez was the one who was up in the stands fighting the fans, and it was because he was protecting his family and his little kids. And, you know, here he is. I see video of him right now holding his son, consoling him.
Jesus.
So, yeah, I mean, I can't blame him. I'd be up there fighting, too, if opposing fans were threatening my family.
That's...
I don't think there's anything that could stop me.
That's just horrible.
Yeah. So I think that's a good place to wrap it up. Just give me your Austin score. I'm going 1-1.
I hate traveling to Texas in the middle of the summer. Historically, it's really, really tough for us. I'm actually going to call it a 0-0.
Ooh.
Hey,
if we get a point, we get a point. I'll take it.
I mean, I think we're going to play very... It might be a 5-in-the-back kind of game.
Yeah.
It might be a...
I just think Rusnak and Jordan are playing together at any point, there's always potential for a goal based on what we've seen these last few weeks.
Yeah. I mean, it who knows? It's just, and I like to be the optimist, but but this one's just...
It's going to be rough.
It's going to be rough. I mean, hey, we are going to have... We're likely not going to start Ruidíaz. I want to say we would, but 91 degree heat... actually, no, I'm going to take that back. We're probably going to start Ruidíaz because... Or do you put Musfat?
Oof. Yeah, it'll be interesting.
I have no idea.
Danny can play on the right. It'll be fine. We'll figure it out. Yeah. So we got to rush because otherwise we're going to go over our 90-minute limit we set promise. With Aaron.
And so, I'm not even gonna say the name who shall not be named, Mr. Doghouse, right now, because that's a conversation that Aaron needs to be a part of.
So where can they find you on the internet?
Hey, come find me on Twitter at Nikita Banana. Nikita Banana. NikitaBanana.
No, there's no S.
No S. No.
I know, not bananas. It's just Bananas.
I know. I'm wiggling. My butt is wiggling. And then on Instagram at Cascades2C. TOSEA. Cascades2C.
Awesome. You can, of course, find me at Legal Minded Punk on all of the Instagrams and X's and wherever else you find people on the internets. And thanks for coming, Nick. It was good times.
Indeed. Always a pleasure.
Take it away, James.
You can follow the Sounder Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVox US. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
The Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.